We are now joined by Kim Backus, the Nike rep here in the state of Arkansas, and also part of Mississippi is your territory,
and
I guess Memphis.
And Memphis.
Louisiana. You travel quite a bit.
Yes.
Good to have you on. We've already had a question. Nick Pruitt, have you had the Nike guy on yet? Nick, he's on now. So 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037, or if you want to send me a tweet, you can do that as well. Or if you want to send us a question via the Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback, you can do that as well. But, Kim, I guess everybody knows Nike because of Tiger Woods. Is that pretty much the association with Nike and golf is Tiger Woods?
Well, from the golf end, yeah. But, you know, Nike's been around a little longer than
Michael
Tiger Woods.
Jordan.
Well, yeah.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
You know, we've had a few, Bo Jackson, you know, a few guys over the year. Of course, first one, Steve Prefontaine. But Tiger's been a great ambassador for – you know, internationally for Nike, for all the sports, just not the golf end, because he's so visible. And, you know, they love having those guys that are international sports guys, whether it's, you know, like basketball or tennis or the golf guys, because they reach the whole world.
And we had some people yesterday when we had Ryan on from TaylorMade, and they wanted to know, you know, Rory went to Nike this mm-hmm. year. What's the deal? And, you know, it's like, all the technology, the way it is now, it's all pretty similar. Everybody's going to believe in their product. It's not the clubs.
Well, all players switch even if they stay with the same company. So if you're staying with Titleist or Callaway or Nike, whatever, Tiger's not playing the same driver he was playing 2 years ago or 4 years ago or 6 years ago with us. So, and they also change blades. We've made, you know, different types of improvements on his blades over the years. So if Rory or Phil Mickelson or whatever, even if they stay within their company and you see how much Phil changes within Callaway, you're always seeing some new driver, some new three-wood he's hitting. They're changing within the year. But if you talk about, like, blades, as far as, like, Rory's case, they'll make the club with the same leading edge, top line. You know, they'll shape the toe of it if he wants it square around, the progression between the hosel and the blade. He's going to be using the same shaft. It's going to weigh the same. It's going to be the same swing weight. When it comes to blade, there's not a whole lot of difference from, you know, one brand to another as far as how you're shaping the heads.
I know, and I don't know if you told me this or someone else, but there was a time when Nike had Tiger at one of their facilities, and they gave him, I think it was five different drivers, and they were all supposed to be similar. They were all supposed to be exactly identical, the same, and they wanted to hit – him to hit those five and tell the guy which one he liked the best.
No, that is true. And he does something, you know, Tom Stites, who's our engineer that designs clubs, that Tiger would be able to do something that's not really humanly possible. He could tell the difference in the swing weights. And if you give him something that was a D2 and he was looking for a D3, he would tell you the difference and hit it on every time, which is really humanly impossible. So they don't know how he does that, but he's very discretionary when it comes to his equipment.
Was it an ounce difference or two ounces difference?
It's not that much. It's down to grams, you know,
oh
how much difference
God.
It is. So
That's incredible.
It's really amazing. It's basically like, you know, the weight of a dollar bill. So, and he'd grab it, plug it, and then would tell him. So, but, yeah, when we work with people, even when I was with Wilson for about 15 years, and, yeah, I'd work with, like, Andy Bean or something when they'd send me clubs, and they'd give me, like, four different sets to take to Andy, and he'd pull out a 7-iron or a 5-iron out one set and match play. So those guys are very discretionary when it comes to their clubs.
You think they are? Yeah. I think every player is discretionary about their clubs. Let's go to RJ in Carlisle. RJ, welcome to Overtime. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for letting me call in. Well, my only golf experience I've ever had is trying to set up a golf course in our neighborhood, and there was a bunch of windows broken in that neighborhood once we set it up. But I just wanted to call in about Paul too. I didn't learn this until after his death, that my grandparents went to church with him, and every Tuesday night my grandparents would clean the church, and they never asked Paul and his wife to come up there, but every Tuesday night while they were cleaning the church, they would come up there and help my grandparents clean the church, and then take my grandparents out to eat every Tuesday night. And I learned that after he passed away, but it was something that he didn't have to do, but he loved my grandparents to death, so he wanted to help. And that's one of the memories that I had with Paul. So
RJ,
I just wanted to share that.
I appreciate the call. Thanks so much, and thanks for listening.
All right.
Kim, do you have a special Paul memory?
You know, he used to play in all those Monday outings, mm-hmm. and I would see him, whether it be Pathfinder or whatever charity event, he was always there to support. And it's just the same story as everybody else. You know, he would remember me, and I wouldn't see him that often. And he was probably the friendliest guy I've ever met in his position. So, and it is pretty amazing. You think of all the people he meets. I'm sure it's a thousands for him to remember their names and be as outgoing as he was all the time. He was a special guy.
People,
and real quick, some breaking news before we continue. But Ian Kennedy, starting pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, just got traded to the Padres. Seems a little weird. You know, I don't know that the Padres are really having a chance to win the World Series. But you want to talk about one of the best pitchers in the National League is Ian Kennedy. So that's another big trade as the deadline either is 45 minutes away or just passed at 15 minutes.
I think it. Joe, was it 5 o'clock Eastern time?
It's 4 Eastern or 5 Eastern.
4 or 5
so
Eastern.
It's 4
yeah,
Eastern,
I believe it is.
It's already
Eastern.
Happened.
But, I think it's 5 Eastern time.
That is one of the biggest trades and happened on, you know, right before the deadline. And
we'll see a lot of movement here, I'm sure, here pretty soon. We haven't heard anything about any
Cliff Lee was another name out there that possibly could be moved, yeah.
Kim, when you look at the Nike line right now, you've got the new driver, the Covert, that came out this past year that Rory does have in the bag, and it's a kind of an odd driver, and I guess Nike's kind of been one of the leaders in an odd driver, and I don't mean by color, but by shape and form.
I don't know how to take that.
Sumo, the square driver, a couple of years ago.
Well, let me explain this. Since we're the Colbert, the name itself is basically what they're doing is they want to take the technology and basically hide it, you know, so from the top it looks traditional, because like with the Sumo square driver, that was not well accepted as far as the appearance looked, but the performance was really good. And why they were wanting to do that, they're by geometry you can do more with the MOI, which is moment of inertia, make a bigger sweet spot for less spin and more control. And the way we did with the cavity back on the Covert, all the technologies, you see it on the sole. But when you set it up from the top, it looks very traditional as far as the shape of the head. It's a very traditional pear shape, but you get the same technology like you were with the square driver. So it's basically giving you the technology of a square driver and a traditional head.
And then the Method putter that you guys have out, that line.
Method putter is a milled-faced groove putter, and it has polymer in the insert there. And what that allows it does is that gives a little bit when the ball strikes the face of the putter, which lets the grooves grab the ball to get it rolling quicker than a traditional face putter. A putter normally will skid 4.5 inches off an impact, where with our putter it starts rolling in 1.5 inches. So you get a truer roll quicker, which helps you keep your putts online better.
Mike and Camden on our Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback. Is there a big difference between the major brands? If so, what are they?
Well, it depends what product you're talking about. As you know, as far as drivers, yeah, everybody has their own technical story, but we're all trying to reach the same thing. We're trying to give you, you know, higher launch, lower spin. That's where you're getting the distance. You're limited to what we can do. You know, heads can't be any larger than 460. Therefore, while they just kept growing, and then, you know, the USGA said, no, you know, 460 is going to be the limit. You know, the shaft lengths are limited now, what you can do. So people were hitting the ball longer by getting the bigger heads, longer shaft. You're getting bigger arc, create more club head speed, and more forgiveness with the big head was giving the confidence. But we're all striving. That's why you see cavity back and irons or different technology, the head where they're moving the weight around. You're trying to strive for the same thing. They're coming at it from different aspects.
If you took a guy like Matt Jones and you took him out.
I'd punt.
To fit.
Don't throw the ball either.
Oh, gee. Of course.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, just looking at him and how long would it take you to, okay, set him up on the gadgets that you have to determine, okay, what best suits him?
Well, you got to fit things people swing. But athletes usually adapt to the golf swing real good. So the first thing I want to do is hook him up with, if he's new, a PGA professional so he can learn and build good habits around his swing, because once you develop bad habits, they're going to stick with you. So, you know, like if he goes out and just hits balls all the time and he has bad habits already in his swing, he's just ingraining those bad habits and not improving his game. So once we get him set, you know, I like to help develop the guy's swing and then fit the equipment to him instead of just fixing somebody saying like, oh, you're hitting a big slide, so I'm just going to, you know, close the phase.
Yeah.
Or yes, and really try to fix the problem. But I mean, obviously, being a tall guy, you're going to go with overlink, you know, clubs. He's probably going to be upright. If he's a new player, I'm probably going to go with something that's perimeter weighted to make it more forgiving for him. And, you know, watching his ball flight, whether it's high or low, I'm going to go, you know, try to get a different spin rate for him, different loft angle, different face angle, you know, to fit his game. But just, you know, look at him, I can't say anything. I can guess because I've been fitting people for 30 years.
Right.
I got a pretty good idea where I'd take him right off the bat. But I'd have to see his ball flight actually in action.
Let's go to Johnny in Pecola. Johnny, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Trey. How's it going?
Enjoy the show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, I never actually got to meet Paul Ills, but I remember hearing about him passing, you know, having an accident on I-40. And I believe it was at the game it was a game in Little Rock. Not sure who was playing, but there was either selling the bracelets or handing them out. But they said, I remember it said Touchdown Arkansas and everything on that. But
yes.
I always just heard excellent things about the guy. I mean, I never heard a bad thing about the man. I mean, wish I had got to meet him, but I get chills when I hear y'all play that stuff. But, guys, y'all just have a wonderful day and go always go.
Johnny, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. That's one thing that we also need to remember, too, the other fatality in that accident, that family as well at this time. Obviously, Paul was well-known, and the other person was not as well-known as Paul Ills, but two people did lose their lives in that tragic accident. Kim, the Nike Swoosh is known worldwide, probably one of the most well-known logos of anything out there.
Yeah, I think it's
there.
One of the top five most recognizable logos in the world.
It's just you see it everywhere, and Nike spends a lot of money to put that logo out there and trying to get the top athletes. And I know that you might have some insight to how they go about doing it, but let's say that, okay, Nike wants to come and talk to Matt.
Where do they start? I was sponsored by Nike in the NFL, yeah.
Really?
I was excited, and I'll tell you a story that when I was in eighth grade playing basketball, we had to take a team photo, and I made sure the Nike Swoosh was showing because I said, I'm going to be sponsored by them someday. And, of course, I had no clue, but pretty cool. And, of course, I was low on the totem pole, but you have a guy that you can call at any time about things. If it was golf balls that I wanted, running shoes for my dad and stuff, and it's a great organization to be a part of.
Yes, the big strength of theirs is they market the athletes, and whether it be LeBron James or Bo Jackson or Tiger Woods or whoever it be. And if you go to the campus, which is our headquarters, all the buildings are named after athletes. So the company's all about the athletes. So you have the Mia Hamm building or the Jerry Rice building or the Bo Jackson building or the Tiger Woods building. Of course, the main corporate office is the Steve Prefontaine building, which is the original Nike athlete who's the track star from Oregon. Phil Knight is a former track runner for Oregon. And Bill Bowerman and him founded the company. And they were both from Oregon when Oregon was the track program, sort of like Arkansas is now. And, you know, he actually designed his first pair of shoes and his wife's waffle iron. And their first store, they bought an old laundromat, coin-operated laundromat store, and that's where they started selling Nike from 1973.
They had the model, the waffle, right, on their running
shoe?
Yeah, that's
where
cool.
It came from.
It's sort of like that same success story that we've heard with Sam Walton, the Five and Dime, how it was founded and started and how it just grew. And okay, a waffle iron designed a shoe, and then boom,
here it is. It's the great American dream, you know, start from nothing and to the largest, you know, sporting goods company in the world now. I think we're doing like $24 billion a year now, and you talk about, you know, something to start from scratch with, you know, with one athlete and a coach.
One thing I notice is when it comes to recruiting, you know, Oregon obviously has some great facilities, and that's kind of where Nike's, that is where it started, but you look around the nation, and if a team sponsored by Under Armour, Reebok, Adidas, whoever, Nike is still where players want to go when it comes. And that's part of a recruiting battle What is that as far as, with golf or anything, being a part of a college?
Well, golf, is, you know, we're not to that level yet like we are in basketball and football. We've concentrated on some of the major schools like University of Texas, Georgia, USC, and there's several other, you know, top schools. But like this last year at the NCAAs, I think we had more Nike bags than any other company there, and our shoes are good. So we're really starting to grow into the golf industry.
Okay, so you were talking about golf because I wanted to ask you the difference in is Jordan still a part of Nike because you have Georgetown, you know, Marquette, Cincinnati. You see some schools with that Jordan logo. I wonder.
Yeah, the Jordan brand's a major brand. Michael's still like the top athlete. Selling products.
Even though he's not even playing anymore.
No, I mean he still carries a lot of weight. So they're still drawn to Jordan. We even had a Jordan golf shoe this last year that Bradley was wearing for a while. So I've been getting calls about that. We don't make it, but somehow they had a
Keegan Bradley. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
And you see Derek Jeter wearing the Jordan cleats. Randy Moss wore them in football. I think T.O. wore them. But Jordan, yeah, it's up there with Nike, but that is the same part. Because I wondered that over the last few years. You see a lot more of that Jordan logo in making sure it was still Nike.
I mean, we do the same thing with golf. You know, we had the T.W. line. So
right.
Yeah, Tiger Woods.
He has his own apparel line and shoes and stuff. So We do the same thing in golf as they do in basketball with Jordan.
What do you think is the hot seller right now for Nike Golf?
Well, it depends what product you're talking about. We're the number one apparel company, so our dry fit apparel does unbelievable. And where we take it, you know, like just like this event here at the Western Amateur, we put it out there on the floor and it just goes right out. U.S. Open, we did the same thing. So everything we make is about performance. That was Bowerman's goal, was to make, you know, shoes lighter so you had to carry less weight during the track meet. You know, he'd break it down by the ounces, how many steps you took. And they do the same thing with apparel. So, you know, if you're wicking away the moisture off your body, you're not carrying it around with you and it's not slowing you down. If the shoes are lighter, you might save like 2 tons of weight that you have carried in an 18-hole round from not having the extra 6 ounces on your feet, you know, per step. So they break it down scientifically, you know, what you save energy wise. That's why, you know, like fuel bands, how they can measure that stuff. So it's all about performance.
We've got a little bit of time left, Kim, before we hit the break, but what have you heard about a lotion and how it's holding up out here?
It is spectacular. I have been working golf tournaments for 30 years. This one is so well organized, so well ran. It is beautiful. Anybody who's coming out here needs to get out here and see this place, because the volunteers, the staff here, Warren Stevens' vision of having this kind of tournament to Arkansas, it's really been a great thing.
Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And I need to come by and check out that Method putter and see if I can't get fitted, maybe hold some more putts. Huh?
I'd love for you to love it.